الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. We were discussing yesterday of Roza, of the heart and mind, which really boils down to our thoughts, that we have to learn to control our thoughts also. Roza of the thoughts is to learn to control the thoughts. And thoughts are a thing that a thought just comes into the mind of a person from nowhere, and it goes also to nowhere. But it leaves a huge thing in between, behind it. For example, a person is lying on his bed, and just the thought came that I must change my mattress. Though there is really nothing wrong with his mattress, but just the thought came, I have to change my mattress. When he buys a new mattress, then automatically the thought comes, I should change the base also, the whole bed, let me change it. Now I must change my linen also, that also. Now in the new bed, I must change my curtains also. Then I must change my carpet also. Then I must make up my room, paint it again, etc. And then when the room is so beautiful, then the wife says, what about my kitchen? Upgrade my kitchen also. So you upgrade that also. Then the rest of the house you do. Then the outside, the garden you get busy with. Yes, the house looks nice inside, the garden outside is shabby. Now that also. Then the car also has to match now. And then your friends and visitors have to be. Your old father, grandfather who come and visit, they don't look like nice in this new house here. You need such modern friends. And you have to entertain them also accordingly. Barbecues, braais, etc., everything. With all this, you had enough money to buy the mattress. For all the other things, you started buying on loan. You were paying a deposit, interest loans you were taking. You bought from the various stores, and they give you interest, they give you loans, but interest bearing. Now you find you cannot pay. And soon you find yourself in such a problem, they're starting to repossess the things. The messenger of court is visiting you, and now they are taking your things. All this was one thought. You wanted a new mattress to get a better sleep. On the old mattress you were sleeping fine. Nothing, no problem. With the new mattress, all your sleep you lost. So this is all one thought. So a person has to think, don't just let your thoughts, don't let them rule you. Don't let them reign free. In fact, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says so beautifully, the treatment for namaz, concentration in namaz, which is a problem with almost everyone. So Hazrat says that dil ka lagna faraz nahi hai. Dil ka lagana faraz hai. For the heart to be attached in namaz, full concentration, all the time, that is not faraz. But when your thoughts go away, to bring your thoughts back, this is faraz. And that also when you become conscious. You are making namaz, tilawat, zikr, your thoughts went away. You are not responsible, it's not guna, and it won't be harmful for you also. But when you realize, oh ho, I'm making namaz, where are my thoughts? Now bring your thoughts back into namaz. Don't carry on with those thoughts now. This is where we make a mistake. That thought that came just on its own, now we start building on it and we carry on with that. And we're thinking more and more of that. No, when we became conscious, and this is now, when that unharmful thought starts becoming harmful. Unsinful thought starts becoming sinful. When you, of your own voluntary act, you start thinking about something out of namaz. The thought just came, that was just to distract you. Now when it came and you realize, oh, I'm making namaz, I'm making zikr, I'm making tilawat, and what am I thinking? Now pull, this is just the example of it. Like on a rainy day, there are puddles of water everywhere. So a mother is walking with her child, and children like to play in the water. Run in the water, splash in the water, they like to do that. The mother is holding the child's hand quite stiff, So the child mustn't get loose and go and play in the water. It can be dangerous also. But the children, at first opportunity, the child puts its hands loose and goes into the water, splashes in there. When it splashes in there, now it became dirty. It fell. It got hurt. The first, there is a little different response, I'm digressing here. The first response of the mother is to give it one slap. I told you not to let go of my hand. I told you not to go in the water. But the mother then cleans the child. And then the mother hugs the child. This is also very similar, like when a person commits a guna, then intentionally, Allah gives him one slap, some problem comes in his life. If first Allah gives him tawfiq of tawbah, he doesn't make tawbah. Allah sends a warning sign, some problem, some difficulty. He doesn't. Then some hardship comes in his life. And this is for those who you love. How the mother loves her child. Another child walking, the mother got nothing to do with that child. Mother won't go and slap that child. Who Allah loves, Allah brings them towards him. So anyway, yeah, how the child, when it gets loose, or like you go in a supermarket, big crowd, anywhere where there is a big crowd, children like to get loose and go on their own. They'll get lost. In Hajj Umrah, how many children get lost? A daily occurrence. In fact, they got special officers for lost children. Because children, inevitably they get lost. You have to control them so much. So where the child gets loose, pull the child back. Where your thought goes loose, pull your thought back again. Keep on doing it. And not only one time your thought is going to go away, and not that you can give your thought one slap, and that now see, now you don't go away. It's again going to go away. Whole namaz it will go, whole time of zikr, whole tilawat. Every time you become conscious, you pull it back again. This is all what we have to do. And that is called a perfect namaz. With regard to the thoughts in namaz, Mujaddid Al-Faisani, Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali, who is the author of our kitab, Anwar al-Salah, that we read. It's a very short little kitab, but so valuable kitab. He writes that in every rukan, every posture of namaz, if once you thought of namaz, of Allah Ta'ala, one time, while you are standing, while you are in ruku, while you are in sajda, that is a namaz of concentration. Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Alayh has made it even so much more easier that even once in your whole namaz, you thought of Allah, that's a namaz of concentration. But now, you've got the pass mark. And any student, if he just gets the pass mark, he's not happy. He wants distinction. So now try and build up more. 70% your namaz was in concentration, 80%, 90%, but here and there your thoughts will still, you are a human being. Your thoughts will still go off. But wherever they go off, pull them back. Treatment for this, in order this thoughts that come to our hearts, just see what a beautiful treatment Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. Because right from there, this whole thing has started. Which people think that me, I got no concentration on my namaz. It has started from the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. So a very beautiful dua which we should try and read. And also, while I'm on that, one friend has written that mashallah is managing his ibadat of Ramzan. But he says he doubts he's going to make his khatam in this, his khatam of Ramadan. So I wrote to him, I told him, the weekend is still coming, spend your whole weekend in cover up. And if you still don't, take off from work. Take unpaid leave, but make sure you make your khatam. And those who don't make khatam, we are not friends. Those who make at least one khatam, we are friends. And those who don't make khatam, we are not friends. Must make your one khatam minimum. They're just like small children. They say, I'm not friends with you. And kattibuchi, that you are my friend, you cross your fingers, nicks, we are not friends if you don't make khatam of Quran Sharif. Minimum one khatam every person must make. Gee, so this dua, or which Nabi Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us, Allah, and learn this dua. Then also we become more strong friends, inshallah. Allahumma ij'al wasawisa qalbi khashyataka wa dhikrak. Oh Allah, make the wasawis of my heart. All these thoughts that come. Sometimes what perverted thoughts come. What stupid, what silly thoughts come. Different thoughts, sometimes very good thoughts also come. But all the wasaw is the negative thoughts. Oh Allah, in your qudrat, you change them, you convert them. Allahumma aj'al wasawisa qalbi khashyataka. Convert it into your khashyat, your fear. And khashyat and khawf are two very similar words in the Arabic language. Both basically we will translate them as fear, but there is a difference between the two. Khawf is that fear that you fear somebody because that thing or that person will harm you. Like you fear a dog, you fear a lion, that is khawf. And khashyat is that fear which you fear that person, not that he'll harm you, but in the love of that person. Like you love your wife very dearly, your mother, your father, you don't want to harm them, you don't want to hurt them, you fear not them. They are very kind, they are very good, but you fear that you must not upset them. And this is the fear that we are asked to have of Allah Ta'ala. It is not of khawf. Khawf, there is a dimension. Allah's azab is there, you fear that. And Allah loves the person who loves his who fears his punishment. And Allah Ta'ala guarantees, you fear my punishment, I won't give you punishment. But those who become bold and aggressive, and they say, what is it? We'll do, I'm going to my qabr, I'll sort myself out. That person is in great, but that person who has the fear of Allah Ta'ala. And the khashyat of Allah, you fear Allah in the love of Allah Ta'ala. That Allah, such a benefactor, who gave me existence from non-existence, who gave me Iman, who gave me Islam, and what ni'mats, as we read in the kitabs, what are the teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In Shaq-e-Watan, what a work Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi has done. Think, don't only absorb the subject, but what the favors of the ulama are upon us. All the kitabs that we are reading, all the value of Ramzan, it is by the teachings of the ulama, otherwise we should have been not even a lost sheep, we should have been totally, perhaps we could have been drunkards, we could have been drug addicts, we shouldn't have been Muslims. We shouldn't have known in the month what favors of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So Allah's favors are so great, and to upset Allah, to make him unhappy, we cast our gaze at somebody who is billions, and there is no number lower than Allah. There is no beauty compared to what the beauty of Allah is, and you casting your gaze on some other woman, or you casting gaze on something else, look at Allah ta'ala. So this is that khashyat. And imagine, Allahu Akbar. In fact, there is a little different which we are coming to. Let me mention it. Buzurgs have shown this one great treatment also for wasawis. That you get what thoughts in your mind. Sometimes, where and where are you? And what and what things are you doing, etc. And great things also. And bad things also. So you make this dua at that time when you become conscious that what and what I'm thinking, that Ya Allah, my heart is so small. If you close your hand, your fist, that's the size of your heart. Compared to your whole body, so small. But what thoughts. And my beja is even more smaller. My brains are even more, but what thoughts are coming in my heart. What things I'm thinking about. So small my heart and the whole world's thoughts. That at one moment I'm in New York, next minute I'm in Delhi, next minute I'm in Umrah, in four rakats of namaz, two rakats of namaz. You went around the whole world, you traveled the whole world around. You were in the day at one place, you were in the night in one place. What and what things won't you doing? Ya Allah, what is your qudrat? So great your qudrat that all these thoughts in the small heart, then shaitan will see that what fuel he was putting in your car to go to the casino, to go to the gambling place, to go to a prostitute's place, that same fuel you using to go to masjid now. Then shaitan will say, no more fuel for this person. That this person, I put fuel in his tank, and he instead, where I want to take him, he goes back, he goes to the masjid. He's going for Umrah, he's going for Hajj, he's going to all these places. Then shaitan won't even put that fuel anymore. So we should try, this is one great muraqabah also. So Allahumma aj'al wasawisa qalbi, the wasawis, that fuel shaitan was putting and he was inviting us towards all wrong, different things. From namaz, such a great, heavenly, magnificent ibadat, he wanted to bring you to zero. That ibadat is thrown back onto your face again, your namaz. That such a namaz you made. But you made that same fuel he used to distract you and to take you away, you used it to go more towards Allah Ta'ala. So, oh Allah, make this fuel which shaitan is putting in my heart, you change it into your khashyat. So much love of yours that I don't want to dare to hurt you, to upset you for one second also. I must not make you naraz in any way whatsoever. Allahumma ij'al wasa qalbi khashyataka wa dhikrak. And the other thing, khashyat also is such a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. And you are using wasawis to get khashyat. And wasawis to get dhikra, the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. To remember Allah, to be always in constantly in the thoughts of Allah Ta'ala. And this very wasawis, don't think that it is harmful also. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali also explained, just to digress a little bit, which is very, very perplexing for many people who are a salik, a person who wants to reach Allah, who wants to please Allah Ta'ala, that everywhere they are just human. Any thing what you buy of necessity, your cereal got a naked human picture. You buy anything else of your necessities, they got pictures on it. Newspapers are full, billboards are full, streets are full, railway stations, airports, everywhere, commercial places, filled with human. So how am I going to safeguard my eyes? Hadrat says, don't be worried. That same thing which shaitan has put here all, and how the women are dressed. In our country, in some our countries, there is oriani, nakedness. In Muslim countries, there is pardagi. The women are not making parda, but they dress still reasonably. In Muslim countries, mostly, they are dressed still, alhamdulillah, till today, they are dressed very reasonably. Their face is open. They speak to men, etc., but they haven't got this naked dressing yet, so there is a great difference. So this oriani which is everywhere, how am I going to get saved? Hazrat says, use that same material in order to get certificate of Jannah, in order to get your mort on Iman and the highest level of Iman. From this hadith, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to explain, "Annadhru sahmum min sihami iblis masmum." That our eyes, the gazes that we are throwing, the haram gazes at other women, they are of the poisonous arrows of shaitan. Not only an arrow, a poisonous arrow. What things you start thinking about that? Wallah, inna Allah khabirum bima yasna'un. This eyes on that, Allah says, Allah did not say Allah knows what you are doing, but Allah Ta'ala is aware. Inna Allah is khabir. Is fully aware, whole thing Allah is aware of your whole factory which you are opening. What is this factory? The thoughts that are coming, and the enjoyment your body is taking, and the movement which comes in certain parts of your body. All that Allah is fully aware. So anyway, so all that which is such a dangerous thing, you just don't look, you just cast your gazes low. If you have to look, if you are in that position, an optician has to look right in the eye of his patient. And he looks right from the machine of his, and he's looking right in the eye. But don't let it register, and don't think it's impossible. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has written that if somebody catches you, a person who made effort to look after your gazes, and you became pakka in it. This is a requirement. Don't be kacha. You must be pakka. One, two examples of that. One is a kawab. Wonderful Shami kawab, which is very delicious. Sham from Syria is known as the Shami kawab. Very famous in India. That kawab, if it is raw and you ate it, you'll spit it out. But that same kawab, when it is fried, in the nice oil, it is made nicely. Now not one, now you'll eat in such a way that if there are three kawabs in the plate, one will be in your mouth.
The second one will be in your hands. And the third one in your eyes. For your friend who's eating with you, not one kebab for him also. But the minute that it is fried, so you must become kaccha, you must become pakka. Don't be kaccha. Milk, when it is just milk, it will mix with water. And if there's a lot of water, it will even lose its color. But make butter out of the milk. Now it's solidified. So we also must solidify ourselves. Don't be kaccha. Don't be unbaked. Don't be uncooked. Don't be unfried. Make yourself pakka. For that, spend one chilla. MashaAllah, how many brothers, round about 30, are spending whole 40 days? And then, during any time, but the best time is the month of Ramadan. A child that is formed in the womb of the mother is formed in 3 chillas, in 3 40-day periods in the womb of the mother. Then the child is properly formed. And that child then, he'll come in this world and what he'll do. He'll do great work of deen, become a alim, become a hafiz, become the cause of hidayat of mankind. What when he went through the 3 40-day periods. About 120 days, then the child is formed. So this chilla has got a great value. And we can do 3 chillas. And whoever spent, one friend of ours, Maulana Yusuf Raja, told, Hazrat Maulana Mazhar Sahib said, while you are in the Khanka, you won't feel any change of yours. Anything. But when you go in your life again and you became pakka, then if you reflect, you will think, oh, I spent a chilla. What great benefit I got. And it changed my life. Like a person goes in jamaat. How many people's life change? One chilla and you do 3 chillas. How much more work? So here also, a person should spend his 3 chillas and try and spend in the khanka your 3 chillas also. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, go into jamaat and do jamaat work. Very important, very beneficial. But remember, your chilla in the khanka is also absolutely essential. This is the minimum, to spend one chilla and then to spend it correctly. That a person is in the khanka. Allah gave me tawfiq, may Allah accept. But whenever I visited my sheikh, whenever I went there and I took off my shoes, I never needed to wear my shoes again till when I was leaving back to the airport. Just all the time in the khanqa. Not going even out, little bit outside also. So only on Hazrat's instructions when he used to send me, that was a different thing. But otherwise, nothing whatsoever. And we have got family also. Everything, but alhamdulillah. So spend your time, very, very important. And that also, when in the khanqa, your thoughts again. If your thoughts are everywhere in the whole world, then how are you going to benefit? And if you are here with your mobile and the cell phone and you are in contact all the time, we said how much is necessary? Do contact the family. Tell them we well. How are you people? Let them also feel comfortable. They are concerned about us. And if there is something to be seen to, see to it also. But minimum. Keep your thoughts here. And all the other things, games, etc. And the haram porn, that's right out of the question. And unfortunately, we have to mention it because what we come to know of our good friends, that how many get involved in all these things. So try and avoid that totally. So anyway, this dua, oh Allah Ta'ala, make that fuel which shaitan is putting in my heart, all this wasawis, and nafs is bringing all these thoughts to me. Make that, change it, convert it, you change it. And Allah's qudrat is such. Allahu Akbar. Allah's qudrat is that the gunas we read in the kitab yesterday or so, that a person who will come to Allah Ta'ala, Allah will remind him of all his small gunas, small sins that he had committed. And he'll have no choice but to admit. And he will admit. And then he will realize, I'm a write-off. I'm going to Jahannam. There is no choice for me. I have to go to Jahannam. But then Allah Ta'ala will say, we have forgiven all your sins. Not only forgiven, we have converted them into good deeds. Then he will jump quickly and he'll say, many others haven't been mentioned. Big, big sins when he's saying, the bazaar is so hot, that you are getting what for your, this is the time to sell your shares. The shares are going at high rocket prices, high prices. Sell now, this is the time to sell. So he will say, Ya Allah, I still got big, big gunas also. And that Allah will change them into big nekis, good deeds. Also make a dua to Allah Ta'ala. All we should make also this dua also regularly. That Ya Allah, the tawfiq you gave me of doing so many good deeds, it was only by your tawfiq. On that also, there is another thing, it comes in the Hadith Sharif. When a person says to Allah Ta'ala that I went for Hajj, I became an alim, I became a hafiz. Allah say, mashallah, you did become. But wasn't my help with you? I helped you. It was my support, my money. I supported you. I made it possible for you. And the same thing, a person puts it the other way. Ya Allah, you gave me tawfiq of Hajj. You gave me tawfiq of becoming an alim, becoming an hafiz. Then Allah says to him, yes, banda, but you also made effort. Just imagine the difference between the two. You also made effort, you also tried, and Allah appreciates, and your effort also is from Allah. Allah gave you, it's like a child, you put him in your lap and you are driving, 2-year-old child. And you come home and you tell the mother, today, mashallah, Ahmad drove today. And he feels happy. What did he drive? You were driving, you just put him there, and he just touched the steering. That's all, and now he's happy, today I drove the car. What did he drive? Everything is from Allah Ta'ala's fazl. So, where were we? Gee, so this dua, that Ya Allah, what tawfiq you gave me of doing good deeds, then because of my nahusat, because of my kameenapana, my baseness, my uselessness, my wretchedness, I went and speak and boast about it. And I lost all that sawab. My hajj, how many years hajj I lost. I became an alim and I went and speak about it. I did this, I achieved this. I spent every year chilla in jamaat. And I'm an old worker, and you want to boast about it, there you lost all that sawab. But, oh Allah, you got the qudrat to bring that sawab back again. You bring it back, Ya Allah. And your mercy is such that I beg of you how much sawab was, you double it up. You make more sawab. Allah has got that qudrat. So use this, whatever shaitan and nafs, they are destroying us, use that same fuel to fight them. That is the greatest strategy in warfare. That what your enemy is using against you, you use their own plans to fight them back again. You don't have to make your own plans, use their plans. So shaitan and nafs are our worst arch enemies and open enemies. So use their own fuel to fight them again. So one is that, oh Allah, you convert it into your khashiyat. And that is that love of Allah, that you don't want to displease Allah because of the great love and benevolence and kindness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And oh Allah, change it into your dhikr also. And then you will see that you are regular in dhikr. And dhikr also, one is zikre lisani, with your tongue. But you are a human being, you'll get tired. How much you going to read? Also one good advice, one friend wrote also, that he's making mashallah quite a bit of tilawat. But then his head gets hot. It has to get hot. And then he says, I use almond oil. That makes it more hot. He's using the wrong oil. He must use the right oil. Use rose oil. Use mehndi oil. Remember this also, when your head is hot. And also one important thing, again I'll digress here. Make it a habit and a sunnah. Make it with the niyat of sunnah to put oil in the head. Today, if you don't grease your car, you don't oil your machine. What's going to happen to your machine? You're using your machine 24 hours, but you don't grease it. You don't oil it. It needs oil. Regularly, you have to put that oil. And Allahu Akbar, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, you buy a Singer sewing machine. Then they specify, you must use Singer oil. You can use any oil, but they want to sell there, they want to make more money. You must use the oil made by Singer company. And you must put that, and your one drop of oil will let your machine work very well. So yeah, also, for this machine, which is Allah's machine, don't use shaitan's oil here. Use Allah's oil. Use Allah's oil. So that zikr of Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, oil, when it is winter, use almond oil, badam oil, olive oil, these are hot. Because in winter, because of the cold, cold can go, one of the sources cold easily goes into the body is through the head and through the ears, etc. Feet keep them warm. These are the things. So oil you should use regularly. And we're using our machine all the time and we're not oiling it. Then we're complaining migraine, we're complaining tension, we're complaining pressure, we're complaining depression. What's going to happen? Your machine, your brain, the main machine, you're not oiling it. How most of us, we don't oil our machine. For winter, use a oil that is hot by temperament. And for summer, use a oil that is, and also see your own nature. Some people are hot by nature. They must use a cold oil. And some people are cold by nature. They must use a hot oil. So for summer, use like rose oil, mehndi, chameli. These are cold oils. And a neutral one for throughout the year is coconut oil. But to try and use this oil and make malish. And also, more better, ask your wife to do it. While you are doing it, you are talking, you are making love, you are teasing one another. How wonderful. And one family we told that what you call it, you must tell your wife, she must rub cream on your legs at night when you go and sleep. Many people's legs are rough. We don't treat them. No cream. So when he told his wife, she asked, I must do it. Can't he do it himself? Hasn't he got hands? Can't he do it? No, just for love that you share a few moments, light moments with one another. Many of us are deprived of all these things. We don't have that. And the only we think we are fulfilling right is when we have sex. And that also, no foreplay, just satisfying yourself. And no, the wife also has got a right. And the woman generally, they don't enjoy the actual act, and they feel they are just being used. But make them happy. Let there be foreplay. And after that, the man just turns around and sleeps away. And just leaves her just like that. No, this also adab. And all this is written in the kitabs. And it's written in detail. And we must learn. We haven't learned still the basics also. So anyway, so the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that we should, Allah must change these wasawis into the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And when the zikr of Allah, so one is that you will make zikr lisani. Your zikr you will make. If you read Quran Sharif quite a bit, so that brother who wrote, I wrote back to him, that space your recitation. Read little while, take little bit off. Do something else, read some Durood Sharif, do something else, anything else. Read for about 15, 20 minutes, most half an hour, then give yourself a space. Don't read 2 hours on one, and especially loud reading. You definitely, your head is going to be affected. So if you are reading softly, it's still, you can read more. But space yourself about 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, give yourself a break. Go and do something else again. Come back to reading again. Again, you get busy what you're reading. Another 15, 20 minutes, half an hour. More or less one supara you can read, average. And then take a break after that. You'll see you'll be able to do much more. And this is proven from workers who work, who you take trying to take work from 8 in the morning till 5. You get less out of them. From that worker, you gave him a break at 10, at 10 o'clock, a tea break. You gave him a break at lunchtime, a lunch break. You give him a break at 4 o'clock, and you'll get much more work out of that person. And this is also a philosophy and a principle which we have to learn. Like, for example, we work the whole year, and then we go for a holiday for 1 week. No, every day you plan your, you don't need a rest after 1 year. Your daily routine must be such that you get your rest. And your daily routine must be such that you get your exercises. And the best exercises for a woman is the housework. Now, once we were in Fort Elizabeth, Tablighi Ijtima, and Maulana Mu'inuddin, who was the Shaykh al-Hadith at one time in Darul Ulum Zakaria, we happened to be together. And then he explained to me that he saw that in his at home, Muradabad, from where he came, when he was a little boy, his granny used to get up, the woman folk, early in the morning, tahajjud time, and which is very good to get up early. But then she used to make them do housework. And he, even as a little boy, he used to become angry on his granny. And says that why are you letting them do housework? Let them make tahajjud now. It's tahajjud time. He say, much later I read in a tib kitab of medicine, that women, the first thing in the morning, if they do house chores, they won't have any woman sicknesses. And today this woman sicknesses are plaguing the woman. They don't do any housework. They can go to the ark, and they can go jogging on the street, and they can do anything. But the remedy of this is to do housework. A woman can work the whole day outside, working in a factory, working in a shop. She's on her feet, up and down all the time. That won't be but she does her housework. This is the remedy for her woman sickness. Otherwise, there are many women who are sitting with big mansions. Hey, it looks they got a beautiful house from what I explained yesterday or the day before. Yesterday, I think. Now, all that they have got. But at the same time, the woman is sickly. Very sickly. She is not enjoying life. All the amenities are there. She cannot enjoy them. But if she does the housework, she will be healthy. So housework is very important. And for a woman, exercises. And this is not you go to the gym once a week or twice a week. And you go in your daily routine. And a woman. And for men, the best is to go walking to the masjid. As far as possible, your daily walk, there is no better walk than walking to the masjid and walk back home. Of course, depending on security situation, depending on your health, etc., you don't need all other exercises. You just take a nice brisk walk and see how healthy you will remain. And 5 times a day. If the masjid is too far, that's a different thing. Then also try, don't park your car right. You're going to hog the disabled people's parking. You're going to hog the imam's parking. No, try and park as far as possible and take a walk if your health permits you and weather conditions, security conditions permit. Try and walk as much as possible. We were in Swaziland, and now it's difficult for me to walk, but Brother Shabbir was there. He says, Maulana ne chalao, let him walk. And he used to make me walk. He says, ummat ne amanat hai, nahi ummat ne amanat ni, hifazat karu hi jo hai. So walking is good. But here also that vicious cycle, you have to walk, you can't walk. You can't walk, you get more sick, you're making yourself more sick. One person went to the doctor for treatment, doctor say you need exercise in your life. You are doing no exercise whatsoever. When he went home, he told his wife, from tonight, I will wind the watch myself. Even that much of work he wasn't doing. He said, I'll do that exercise. And this, the doctor told me, very old doctor, very good, he's still living, Dr. Mayat of Petersburg, very pious man also. He said that some exercise is better than no exercise. So even just a little bit you do is better than nothing. But try and do enough. And the walking for a man to the masjid and a woman, her housework. This is our Islamic culture. We don't have to follow the Western culture and their teaching. So anyway, all this I was saying, that one is zikre lisani, zikr on the tongue, and your body will get tired. From there we went in this direction. So make zikre qalbi also. Just in your heart you think, you make zikr. One is dua, dua which you lift your hands and you make dua, verbal dua you make. And one is dua which Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to prescribe, especially for these days of fitna and these days of so much of inequity and all the wrong and evil that is taking place. Dua muraqabai dua. Hazrat and Haji Ahmed Nakhuda Sahib, the Ahmed Barakatum, stresses a lot on this muraqabai dua, where you don't lift your hands, nothing. Just your heart is in your heart, your head is like in your heart, and from your heart you are making. For this fitna of television, video, and now all these things have become small, the internet, the fitna of the internet, and all this haram and evil things, make dua from your heart. And also remember, please, don't make dua. What our condition is, we heard somewhere, for example, motor car accident, the other driver was drunk. And we go off on a tangent. These people, the drunk drivers, and they are like that. The poor people who are dead, who are suffering, you're not worried of them. Who are sick, who have to get to hospital, you are busy swearing those people. This is an example of that person. A young boy fell into the water and he shouted out for uncle to help him. Uncle started giving him a big bayan that if you don't know how to swim, why you fell, he went in the water. And why are you walking so close? He said, uncle, first save me, afterwards you can give me bayan. I'm busy drowning here. First you save me and then you can give me bayan for 2 hours if you want to. So we go off on a tangent, or where there is a burglary crime incident. And a person becomes, somebody is shot, somebody is hurt, And we just swearing those, make dua for this person. The person has passed away, make dua, isale sawab, dua maghfirat. This is more important. So all the same sex marriages which parliaments are allowing, all that, who of us make dua? We just go off on a tangent that these people are like this, and what kind of laws are they passing, and how evil are they? Who makes dua for them? And for this kind of fitness, this muraqabah dua is very effective. That you just lower your head, and from your heart you're just making and turning to Allah. Ya Allah, all this terrible, what in front of us, this nudity in front of us, same-sex marriages which are taking place, alcohol which is permitted everywhere, and people are, what happens on, don't just speak evil of what's happening on New Year's Eve, and what's happening on Christmas Day, make dua, Allah save them, Allah give them hidayah. Allah bring them into deen and into Islam. And dua is the most powerful weapon Allah has given. And no scanner can pick up this weapon that you are moving with. So use this here. So the zikr, one is zikr lisani also. One is zikr qalbi also. From your heart you are remembering Allah Ta'ala. And you are just thinking of the qudrat of Allah. Allahu Akbar. For example, you are sitting at a dastarkhan. The food is coming. And just the dasturkhan is spread out. You can be sitting there and you can be making, what a muraqabah. Nobody will even, many people don't like to be called a Sufi, a buzurg. But you can be just like an ordinary person that, ya Allah, this dasturkhan, made of cloth, made of plastic. Who made it? From where it has come? How many machines were used to make it? How many modes of transport to bring it here? Just for that, how many computers work to put it onto the computers and to load it onto the ships, the transportation on the ships, already how much muraqabah you can make. The salads come, for example. In the salads, there is lettuce, there is carrots, there are tomatoes, there are onions, there are olives, there is cheese. What and what thing? Each one is not only an industry of its own, is a world of its own. Where the cucumbers are being grown, how many people work there for the onions, for the lettuce, for each thing, and your contact with Allah is so great, so high, and you just seem to be just sitting, you are just sitting idle, you are doing nothing, but you are by the arsh of Allah, and you are the favorite of Allah, and Allah loves that person, the person who thinks of all this. Then for example, something sweet comes, the biryani comes. In that one plate of biryani, there was one time when Indian Muslims came new to South Africa about 150 years ago. Most of them were hawkers. They used to go hawking in the farms of the white people. And on a Wednesday, they used to come back to Johannesburg again to buy new wares again, replenish, meet everyone again, and for the whole week they used to go out. There was one Bismillah restaurant which is still there in Diagonal Street in Johannesburg. And this owner, on the Wednesday, used to cook biryani. Because these were single people and they had no family. So once when they come here back to Joburg, then he should give them a good meal. And he should charge in those days 1 shilling to enter. And you can eat as much as you want to. But you pay 1 shilling in those days. So with the 1 shilling, one person came, and what a person whose name also was such a name, Ismail Amto. Amto Uto. He was just a nothing. And he ate 10 plates of biryani. So the owner of the restaurant went back to him, gave him his shilling back again. He said, "Aay tamari shilling paachi, abe aaj paachi tamo paacha no kya hota. You don't come back here again. Your 1 shilling I'm giving you back, but you don't come back here again." So anyway, that 1 shilling, where can it pay for that plate of biryani? Your millions of rands can't pay for that. In that biryani, you have got rice, basmati rice from Pakistan. Just think of the whole rice industry. First of all, the ground nobody can make. And if there's no ground, you can't grow it. And then outwardly we are now plowing the ground. For that plowing you needed a tractor. The tractor is assembled in Germany. It's assembled in some other country. But the parts are coming from throughout the world. To make those parts, how many machines are used for that? How much transportation? How many people have to work? And just for that assembly plant, The person who comes to work, his whole family is all right, then he comes to work. If his wife is sick, emergency, has to take her to a hospital, he said, phones up to the boss, I can't come to work today, I have to take my wife. Now they have to make some other plan there. Or their department is now just lying. There isn't somebody to work there. And for everything, for the tires, for the oil, for the grease, for the engine, for the plastic, for the rubber, how many? What machines? And then when the tractor comes and sold in Karachi, to get it to the farm, you need again roads for it. What room? How many people work on the roads? You can't imagine. Allah's ni'mat wa in ta'uddu. If all of you together from Adam alayhi salam's time till Qiyamah, all of you try together with your computers and your calculators and all your mathematics and everything, you try and count one ni'mat of Allah. And one is not counted. But in one ni'mat of Allah, not billions, not trillions, not quadrillions, Allahu Akbar, only Allah knows. So whatever ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, think of them and say to Allah, this is my limited knowledge. This is what I came to know. But I admit that behind this are unlimited your ni'mats which I don't know about. And in the same way about gunas, these are the gunas I know I have committed. But other gunas which I have committed unknowingly are unlimited also. And how much of harm I've caused to people in different ways, we don't realize how many people we hurt. We say a word and it hurts so many people. Our actions hurt so many people. So we have to ask forgiveness for that. And Allah's ni'mat, understand them. So anyway, that there is biryani in there, there is the rice in there, then there is mutton in there from the karoo, that goat, that sheep that grew. How lot of effort was made behind it. You can't imagine to slaughter it, the knife, how many factories and machines needed to make that. That knife needed a handle. That knife needed packaging in which to put it. That knife needed transportation. Allahu Akbar. What didn't go into that? And then again, there is the spices. They came from Zanzibar. They came from Malawi. And how many spices? Cloves, darjeeling, salt, pepper, how many 10 types of spices, and then that expertise of the housewife, a pinch of this, a spoon of this, half a spoon of this, if you go and do everything opposite there, what biryani will you get? If you go and put 2 tablespoons of salt in there, what biryani will, everything, what expertise she has got, and then again you put it, then there is butter, ghee again. Butter came from Australia. Your saffron came from Spain. Allah, from the whole world, the things have come together in your one place. And then again, if you went and buy all the ingredients also, if the wife's mood was not right, she's not going to cook your biryani. You're getting your 10 visitors, and you're wondering your izzat, your respect, she must cook and present the best food. But if she's not in the mood, no black magic chocolates will also change her mood. Nothing can change her. And then again, that stove of hers, the electricity waves being produced, the steel of the stove, we can't imagine. So make this also zikr in the heart of Allah. Every ni'mat, when you're lying down to sleep, who gave me my peaceful bedroom? Don't think you made this wonderful bedroom of yours. This bed you have got, the safety and security you have got, peaceful conditions, you can sleep. If you got one worry, just the thought comes into you. Allahu Akbar. My eldest sister, her mother-in-law, was paralyzed. And they lived on a farm about 2 hours from Johannesburg. And she was a paralyzed lady, so always thinking. So when family members had come to Joburg to visit and they are leaving back, they used to phone, we are leaving now. And then after 5 minutes, I remember her hand on her head like this on the kitchen table. Mane bo worried hai. Ajuni awa. Only 5 minutes then. It's a 2 hour journey. Ma ame to 5 minutes thai. Ka amre avi jawana. Nahi, jaani, bar joani. And force my sister that she must go out. Though from the kitchen window you could see clearly what's happening in the yard. If anyone had come you could see. But made her go outside. Another 5 minutes, mane bo worried hai. I'm very worried. Okay, they are still they are not yet. They'd come after 2 hours, ma. It's not now they're going to come. They only left 4 o'clock. We can expect them at 6. Come hoot you are. What must have happened? I don't know. They still not. Just worry all the time. Eh? So, on what did I say? Gee, when you're going to sleep, you have, if you one thought of worry, Jazakum Allah, you have such a sami, is very good. Eh? Otherwise, like the Imam Sahib, Taraweeh, they came till Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, and he got stuck. And you give him Luqma, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalikal Kitabu La Raiba Fi. You must start reading from there again and come back here. Now, on the spot you tell the person, that is mashallah, very good. So anyway, so at night when you are lying to sleep, one thought comes, just an imaginary thought. It's no reality, but there your sleep is gone now. This can happen, that can happen, that Allah gave you all that. How lot shukr to Allah Ta'ala to me. You got your peaceful bedroom, you got your family there, you've got your children, you've got everyone, everything is afiyat, salamati, everything is in order. What a great ni'mat. So this is zikr of Allah. And use that wasawis in order to make the zikr, to convert it into the zikr. And that same wasawis, this evil thoughts, where it can take you to Allah Ta'ala. So one, I have to again state this, the greatest treatment for wasawis is to ignore it. I have to repeat this because people just don't, can't accept it. People who are plagued with terrible wasawis, making wuzu, washing their hands not 3 times, 5 times, 7 times, istinja, wasawis, I'm still not pak, I'm still not pak. Made once ghusl, I'm still not pak. All this, just ignore it. Namaz, I made 2 or 3 rakats. The first time it happened, the second time, make your sajda is sahwa. It has become a habit, just ignore it. You have to make 2 rakats, you made 3 rakats. But it's just wasawis, don't worry about it. One, Maulana Bobat of Durban, who is now in Medina Sharif, once very long ago we visited him, his father was still a living old man. And he said, we met him, after Isha we went. And he says, my father eats after Maghrib, then he sleeps away. When he wakes up, he says, mani bo bhook lage, ni khadu. Again he eats second time. 11 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning he gets up. He forgot he ate. And again he eats. Again he eats. So these thoughts will come to a person. The best remedy is to ignore it. If anyone wants to do a great favor to himself, now with regard to this wasawis which we get in all things, just ignore it. That is the simplest, ad-deen o yusrun. Deen is very easy statement of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it can't be, there can be no 2 ways in it. So you just ignore these wasawis and see that you will be a peaceful man and shaitan will withdraw from you. That you are using this wasawis to get the khashiyat of Allah, to get the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. I can't allow this to happen. And you'll see you'll be freed of these wasawis. Otherwise a person is plagued till death with this wasawis. His namaz is destroyed. He gets evil thoughts about other people also, about dear and close ones, all the time bad thoughts. What my workers must be doing, what my wife must be doing, what this one is doing, what my husband is doing. These are all wasawis. And the remedy for them all is just to ignore them. In the hadith also, the cause of wasawis is shown when you urinate in the bathroom. The place where you have to bath, don't urinate there. In similar from there, we can understand, you go in a swimming pool, your human nature, body nature, you want to urinate, but don't urinate in a swimming pool. Don't urinate in water, whether it's the sea, whether it's a river, whether it's a swimming pool, there is a place to urinate. Go to the right place to urinate. Don't urinate in the wrong place. And then another dua that is taught for wasawis, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is Allahu Akbar. Again, many when we prescribe these treatments, people think, ah, this we also know now. We didn't have to even ask about this. Who doesn't know it? But we're not making amal. Kitab reading takes place, we say, how many times they reading this? But are you sitting? Do you know what is being read? Are you making amal on that? That we are not interested. So the great, great remedy, another great remedy is la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. If Allah wishes tomorrow, inshallah, we'll elaborate on that, inshallah. Subhanallah, bihamdihi.